Your host hasn't seen everything in sports, but sometimes he acts like it, and his guests probably have. Now, the host of Scorecard Scribblings, your sports guy, Brent Weber.
Hey, everybody. Brent Weber. Thanks for being with us. We're going to listen to a little bit of that interview from last week with Alan Springer, even though it was pre-Super Bowl. He was from Yahoo Sports. Kind of predicted it right. And yes, I felt like my heart was in it for the 49ers, but really felt like the Chiefs were going to do it, and they did. Not a gambling man, and if you took it on the chin, sorry. It was great. I thought it was a good game. I like defense. I like games that come down to that kind of stuff. And they had a parade today in Kansas City. We also had some exit interviews, opportunities for a couple of players to talk to the press before they hit the road, including Emmanuel Sanders and Jim G. We're going to hear from them a little bit later on in the show, so that'll be coming up. And also want to say happy birthday to one of my all-time heroes in sports and a very quiet, humble man. I've only spoken with him a few times over the years, much younger in my career, but Henry Louis Aaron, Hank, the Hammer, Hammer and Hank, to me, the greatest baseball player ever. I'll make my arguments if you're there, but in his time and over his era, and man, up into his late into his 30s, he was still just knocking the ball out of the ballpark and driving in runs. Anyway, happy birthday to Hank Aaron, born February 5th, 1934. So not too shabby for Hammer and Hank. We'll talk a little bit more about some baseball stuff, get you up to date on some college baseball in the area. Yep, saw the Shasta College Knights guys. So that's all coming up. But first, let's recue some of that interview from last week with Alan Springer of Yahoo Sports. A guest to start off our show tonight, Alan Springer, even though I got a few years on you, Alan. I remember when you were the kid starting out with Jim Hill. But I think, Alan, you probably, as a producer for a whole bunch of folks, starting with KCBS and Fox Sports, HBO, TNT, everybody, and, of course, Yahoo Sports, where you're an executive producer now. You've been to a lot of them. How many Super Bowls have you covered?
Hey, Brent. Good to talk to you tonight. I can't believe it's number 14 for Yahoo and number 19 overall. And it's amazing because I'm only 25 years old, so it's just crazy.
Well, it would almost seem like you're only 25 years old. I, you know what?
Yeah, and I started young. You know that.
Yes, you did. And it's really cool to talk to you. For folks who don't know, I mean, I go back and respect Alan from when I worked at CNN, and he was a young guy learning to be a producer, but we go forward from there to the time I was at OCN, wherever, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is, you and I haven't talked in years. We didn't even talk before this. You agreed with a text message to talk to me. We haven't talked in forever, but, you know, we have appreciate you joining me, and, you know, we'll make it like it's old times.
Of course, Brian, anything for you and for your audience. And I'm not just saying this. I learned a lot from you early in my career. You were always great to take me under your wing and answer what at the time seemed like a dumb question for a young college kid. But you definitely had a great career, and I appreciate everything I've learned. And anytime you need me, I'm happy to join.
Hey, I thank you, Alan. That you're an Aztec for life, right? And is that the right school?
Isn't it a great time to be an Aztec?
Yeah.
I try to make it back. I live in L.A. now, but I'm trying to make it back for at least one game a year. So I'm heading down when I get back from Miami for the game against New Mexico on February 11th. So it's definitely a good time to be an Aztec.
Pretty cool. You know, I don't want to throw you for the curve, but it's impossible doing what we do and doing what you do as executive producer for Yahoo Sports, and you're based in L.A., and you have grown up. You've grown up as a man and as a professional during the Kobe Bryant generation, and even though that's not the Super Bowl, had to be, and people just don't understand, we separate ourselves as best we can, but I would imagine this had to be the most breathless few days of your career covering sports with the news Saturday.
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting how you say it's not the Super Bowl, but I got to say, Brent, it is the Super Bowl. Because there isn't a person, there isn't an athlete here that we've talked to this week or just in general that isn't affected by Kobe or the impact that he had on them. You know, everybody we were talking about last night. We all have our stories in life of where we were when X happened. I was on the plane, actually, my entire team. We were flying here to Miami on Sunday, and about an hour in the flight, and, you know, I get a text message on my laptop, and, of course, I'm like everybody else, thinking it's not true, it's a hoax. And, you know, I actually know Harvey Levin pretty well. I used to work with him, if you remember, at KCBS. And I remember thinking, well, there's no way Harvey gets this wrong with TMZ. Harvey never gets it wrong. Obviously, you know, as things developed, we all learned in this business, you can't always trust the Internet when it comes to things and how they spread. So all the rumors are all over the place, and you're trying to just piece together the reality of what's going on. And as you mentioned, you know, I have a personal relationship with Kobe. You know, he was 1 month older than me. So I really and truly felt like I grew up with him. I was in his first practice when he got to L.A. at age 17. He goes off to the Lakers. I go off to San Diego State, as you mentioned. And we just developed this relationship because the thing about him was he was loyal if you were loyal to him. And I was always there for all the big moments. I mean, I grew up as a Laker fan, so that was made it easy for me to be a part of it all. But, you know, I just posted the other day on my own social media handle, you know, he did a tribute on my wedding video. He knew me and my wife, obviously. I'm not sure your audience knows. My father was C. Springer of the LA Times, and he and my dad were very close as well. And so the impact, you know, you think you live in a bubble sometimes when you live in a market, if you live in LA, and you think, you know, it's always fun to debate fans and other sports fans. Is Kobe better than Michael? Is Kobe this? Is Kobe that? And when you see what's happened, the outpouring around the world, and you realize what an impact he had beyond just basketball, it's astounding. And we were even saying that Sunday night we all got here, we all landed, and you go into work mode, as you know, you have to figure out my whole team in LA was working, who's going to cover the story, how are we going to do this, where's our writers, and then you get back to your hotel room late at night, and I called my dad. We were on the phone for 2 hours crying to each other, because it's like you separate the work side of Kobe Bryant, and you realize what a person he was, and then, you know, my dad and I said the same thing. The thing about him, which in our business is amazing, is he was the athlete, and there's never any questions of what he did on the basketball floor. But in reality, it was the second half of his life that we were all excited to see. I mean, he was getting into our field. He was going to be a true filmmaker and creativity. And obviously, everybody has had their thoughts on Kobe, so I won't go too deep into it. But it's weird how when we were here Sunday night, we're like, we're here for football, but nobody's going to be reading or watching our stuff the first couple of days. Everybody's focused on Kobe. So it's been an odd Super Bowl week, I will say.
Well, and I appreciate you sharing those because, I'm a big – always have been a big fan of your dad's work too, but you know you worked really hard to separate and create your own place. Let's talk a little bit about Yahoo Sports before we talk about your coverage, because to me, and I'll be simple with it, it was a huge leap of not a leap of faith, but a huge business leap when Yahoo News Sports threw down the gauntlet and said, we are all in as major news sports outlet. And, you know, they hired guys like you, and we're kind of going, scratching our head, going, well, you know, I can't be really good job, you know. But obviously, you were there from the beginning. To me, it's almost akin to being there at CNN as an intern when I was at the very beginning to see what that became. Talk about this ride and how Yahoo Sports has become for so many people, for me in particular, a go-to first kind of place.
It's funny how you said that, Brent, because it literally was a conversation with my then boss twisting my arm to come here. as you mentioned earlier, in the setup, you know, I was working for Inside the NBA, HBO Boxing, Fox Sports, and I you know, I was doing pretty well at the network TV level. And it was an old, you know, friend I had known for years, and he was trying to convince me to come over, and he says, I'm launching a fantasy football show called Fantasy Football Live. And I said, what exactly is that? He says, exactly. You tell me what it is, but you're coming over here to launch this thing. And I said, why would I leave network television? I said, this isn't about the money. You know, I've been there 14 years. I said, it was just coming up in my mid-20s. And I said, it's not about the money for me. I want to know what my future looks like. And he said, this is your future. And it took a long time. I agreed to come in and freelance for 6 months and launch this football show, Fantasy Football Live, which just finished its 14th season. And I did it, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna go back to real TV, as I called it at the time. And I just kept looking, and I kept seeing the way technology and digital media was being consumed. It was, you know, let's be honest, it was coming into your house. It was either going to your bigger screen or your smaller screen. And it was like, well, if you see the future and you can understand it, it's all going to end up in the same place. So I kind of just started to ride the wave, and, you know, I ended up riding the wave into the Olympics and a whole bunch of other stuff. And, yeah, I've been fortunate. I mean, this summer will be my seventh Olympics for Yahoo. I've done three World Cups, and just being able to kind of just see how this has all evolved. When I started, it was me and another producer, and now we're at a point, I think our total staff, we're up in the 50s. I oversee, you know, our studio down in L.A., and it's been incredible to see where it's come. And it's funny because I have this conversation with people all the time. They ask, you know, you've been there 14 years, what's next? And it's great to say what's next and to kind of look ahead. But to me, it's I'm always excited about what's next for Yahoo. You know, mm-hmm. We just got bought by Verizon 2 years ago. The cool thing, and we can segue into a moment here, what we're doing mm-hmm. Super Bowl week, but you can now stream NFL games on the app, on the mobile app, which you couldn't do. We have a partnership with the NFL, partnership with the NBA. You can watch games on Yahoo through the NBA. So, you know, my goals are different than they used to be, where it was just, you know, go out and create fun content and you hope somebody sees it. Now it's strategically, how do you work with the league partners? How do you work with athletes on a bigger scale? And it's definitely the reverse. Now it's everybody coming to me going, how do I get into Yahoo? How do I get started there? And the one thing I always tell people, I speak a lot to college classes, and the one thing people always say to me is, how do I get your job? And I say, you can't get my job because the job you're going to want to get has not been created yet.
Right.
There was no way when I was coming out of San Diego State, I was like, yeah, I want to be executive producer over an internet sports company and produce content around the world. That just didn't make any sense. So, I always tell people it's all about relationships. As you and I have been friends here for, God, almost, I guess, it's almost 20 years now. So it's like you never know when a relationship will change one way, and just know that you have to be willing to change and evolve. And the funny part is I feel like I'm the old man now, where my young kids are coming in to work for me. They're like, we got to do this for social media and this for Instagram. I'm like, oh, that's fun. You think it works? I'm all about learning. You know, you can teach this old dog new tricks for sure.
Well, I want to ask you another question to follow up on that, and I promise we're going to talk football here in a second. But one of the things that it takes a lot for me to, you know, because I was teaching college for a while, and I still like the opportunity to do that. And we talk about taking in the time of social media, which no ignoring it. That's like saying, oh, I'm not going to use a computer. I'm going to type this out instead. But the point being, even in our daily life, we have such a media literacy problem in America. And, hey, you know, we say, oh, it's just sports. But a week like this week, this is where I used to tell my students, and I would tell my interns or people that worked with me, we need to take the high road here all the time, because when the story is serious and when it hits the fan, I want them to know that if they come to me, they're going to get it right. And I'm not disrespecting, but, you know, there's obviously, you mentioned the rumor mill and all that. And that's one thing I admire about Yahoo is, hey, man, I can go there. I can get opinion, but it's clearly labeled. You know, I can see great features. I can see neat stuff. But I can also get the game story. And I feel like there's some strong ethics there. The get it right first seems to be working for you guys.
Yeah, and, you know, we definitely turned a corner early on for me. You know, it was probably late, right in 2008, 2009, when then our boss was Jim Pitaro, who's now running all of ESPN. It was about breaking news and how do we put ourselves on the map. I mean, you know, my colleague Charles Robinson, who is still one of my close friends here and still here cranking away with me at Super Bowl week, he broke the Reggie Bush story.
That's right.
And then the Miami Hurricane story with Nevin Shapiro, he broke that as well. And, you know, that in the early days of the internet, when we would watch, you know, SportsCenter and we'd see our name, we were the little engine that could. You see Yahoo Sports is reporting, we were the little engine that could. And we'd high five each other and scream and be like, oh, look, we're on SportsCenter. And of course, ESPN would never use our names. They would just say a source. And then when they had to, they'd say Yahoo Sports reporting.
Right.
And then, you know, then I rode the wave through the Woj era at Yahoo, and Woj was, I learned so much from him about breaking news and how to have credibility. And, you know, just to be with Woj and to see, you know, how he writes a tweet and how strategic he is and the words he uses and when he posts it. And we did a draft show with him a couple of years. And then from Woj, I worked with Sham Sharania, who was kind of his understudy, the young kid, and how he learned through Woj how to break news. And, you know, you've been a journalist, you know, mm-hmm. it's the amount of sources you go through. And We're definitely about, we don't get into the, you know, trying to be cute and trying to be fast. We want to try to be right.
Right.
And we have a credibility because through Yahoo Finance, Yahoo News. There's a brand there that people do trust. And you know, we've always been the fantasy football home, and that's still our bread and butter, and that's still what people know us for. But we've had some great journalists that have come through here that have obviously gone on to succeed.
Can you stick with me for a couple more minutes if I take a quick break?
Sure.
I'm hogging your time, and I know you're super busy, but I got to take a break, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about the Super Bowl. All right, Alan Springer, longtime friend, executive producer of Yahoo Sports, is in Florida for Super Bowl Roman numeral LIV, 49ers and Chiefs. Don't go away. You're listening to Scorecard Scribblings.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Coming to the Cascade Theater February 21st, The Doo-Wop Project. Featuring Broadway stars from Jersey Boys and Motown the Musical, The Doo-Wop Project recreates pop hits from Frankie Valli and The Temptations, and they doo-wopify some of today's biggest chart toppers like Jason Mraz, Maroon 5, and Amy Winehouse. The Doo-Wop Project, February 21st at the Cascade. Get tickets today at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Hey everybody, welcome back. We're going to rejoin that interview in just a moment, but I want to let you know, crossing over the lines, Kirk Douglas passed away today, 103 years old, confirmed by the Associated Press. One of his big, and here's the connection, you know, he was a big, strong guy, right? You know, known for being that tough guy, and one of his big roles that solidified him in the minds of fans of movies, because he always wanted to be a Broadway star, was when he played a down-and-out boxer named the movie was Champion, 1949. I'm going to have to go back and find that because I'm sure I saw it at some point on TBS or one of those. But that's one of his great sports movies dating back, Champion. And, you know, he always wanted to produce. He actually wanted to star, and he tried for years, to get One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest to film. And he was never able to do it. His son Michael, however, produced or co-produced or executive produced it finally when it was done with Jack Nicholson. And I guess that was one of Kirk Douglas's tongue-in-cheek great failures, was that he didn't get to produce that. His son Michael said, "Don't worry, you made more money," because he gave him half the producer credit or something on the back end. Anyway, that's Hollywood stuff. There's a good AP article on that. But 103 years old, pretty good run. Pretty good run for, what was his name? Spartacus. Pretty good run for Spartacus. Hey, let's pick it back up with Alan Springer, and then a little bit later on we're going to Again, I got some updates on local sports. We'll turn the Wayback Machine to hear from a couple of NBA stars about visiting the Lorraine Motel, where Martin Luther King died. That'll come up a little bit later on. You're listening to Scorecard Scribblings. Let's rejoin that interview with Alan Springer of Yahoo Sports. Welcome back to Scorecard Scribblings. My guest, Alan Springer, executive producer of Yahoo Sports, and a career that you made the coffee man as a teenager, starting out as an intern in L.A. Sports TV, and since then have worked for the Fox Sports Networks, Fox Sports West, HBO, TNT, Inside the NBA, great gigs there, and more. And since July, wow, man, you've really been there that long. How many, since July of 2006, you've been with Yahoo?
Yeah, 14
News
years.
It's amazing. So he's executive producer of Yahoo Sports. And how many folks do you have in your team covering the Super Bowl down there?
Yeah, we have 23 on the ground. We've got six writers, video teams, about 14 of the 23. And we have a really good social media team as well. It's in and out. In and around Miami, capturing content all week. So it's a big crew. We're located in multiple locations. We've got a big set that we have on Radio Row, where we've got guests coming by every day, talking to our team. And then we have a pregame show that we're doing on Sunday that will lead up to the game. The pregame show will be from the SLS Hotel, in South Beach. It'll be an hour long show. We'll have three hosts on the show with some nice features that'll go into it, and then that'll lead up to the kickoff, which you can actually watch the whole game on Yahoo Sports.
That's so crazy. That is crazy, isn't it? Like you said, going through this time of learning how to, you know, you almost have to go, yeah, we can do that. We can figure out a way to stream the games. We can figure out a way to stream the Super Bowl. Sure, no problem. And then you guys
figured it out. With a big price tag that comes with it. Yeah,
yeah, that for sure. Looking at some of the covers that you're doing, you and I both know, dear to my heart, look, the game is the thing and the people in the games. And as much as we have to do, hard journalism, good journalism and storytelling of the truth is out there. I was just reading the piece about Katie Sowers, who, interestingly, and now I'm in a small town, but it's almost like her first full season as an assistant coach on an NFL staff has gone under the radar in a way. And she is, of course, for the 49ers who don't know, assistant coach in the NFL for the 49ers.
Yeah, she's a great story. And you mentioned that article. If you go back, my team actually did a video piece with her a couple months back. So I'd like to think we were ahead of the curve on this one.
Mm-hmm.
We went back in this story. We have a show during the regular season called Cover 3, and it's actually the only all-female cast NFL show, which is pretty cool. And we had her on. We had Jen Welter on as well during the season. And to see that Katie is, her platform's obviously grown, and it was cool at media night to see everybody kind of crowding around asking questions to her. And I will say, if you've been watching NFL games this year, they already did a commercial with her, a technology commercial earlier in the year. And she'd kind of gotten that excitement of getting that 5 minutes of fame early. And, between her and what Becky Harmon's doing in San Antonio in the NBA, it's pretty cool to see. And, going back a little bit, we were talking Kobe earlier. I feel like I don't want women's sports to take a step back. I feel like Kobe was such at the forefront with his daughter and pushing the movement of women's sports and women's basketball in particular, and to see what they could have done, and obviously to have a strong male athlete like Kobe pushing the narrative there. But I think Katie is going to be a real star if people are willing to continue to believe in her, and just hearing the players talk about her. There's never this, NBA players were at first were obviously hesitant to female referees and even Becky Hammon, but I think the way that and they've all obviously earned the respect for sure, but the way Katie addresses the team and just kind of coaches every day, it's really cool to see.
Yeah, I think I can even remember Kobe tossing lip at Becky in those, I think it was Becky, in the early NBA days where,
yep.
And in a way that's like saying, okay, you've made it. I can jaw at you.
Right, right. If I don't tease you, I don't care, right? But right. That's the way we all are, right?
49ers, you know, here in the Northwest, of course, there's some Seahawks fans here because we're, you know, we're up there. But, you know, a lot of 49ers and Raiders history, not a lot of Raiders to talk about this time of year. But, you know, it. I think the start of the season, if we remember how good Kansas City was last year, you know, that's not a reach, right, to think. I think that the AFC had such a weird year with the East being so bad and all that stuff. We kind of just assumed someone good would come out of it, but take it on the 49ers, which is still kind of a feel-good national story. What's the national feel about this game? Is it feel like Kansas City is the overwhelming favorite? They're not, but they're a slight favorite, I guess. But does it feel like it's Kansas City and then whoever?
No, I feel like it's the other way around. I feel like most people want to pull for the 49ers. Huh. I think because it's the old narrative, right? Defense and running wins mm-hmm. championships. And, you know, when Garoppolo got there, and, you know, Garoppolo had a really funny line when he came back, I thought he was before the NFC Championship game. He says, this is the way I drew it up, right? I was going to get hurt this year, not play. We'd fall in the draft, and we end up getting Bosa, who just had one of the best rookie seasons ever for a defensive player. So I think the 49ers narrative has always been, you know, well, we've got rebuilt. I mean, what John Lynch has built with that team, we just the defense, and, you know, we saw that performance for the ages, you know, from Raheem last week in the NFC title game, which was just unbelievable. I'm taking the Chiefs in this one. I think it's the perfect narrative because you've got the best offense in Kansas City in football. Both teams last year, as you said, were both kind of adjusting. You know, mm-hmm. Mahomes was coming back from his injury, and Garoppolo had some issues the year before. And so it's like I feel like you got two healthy quarterbacks. I don't think Garoppolo is going to be you know, we have a poll actually in our site of who's going to win MVP. I don't see Garoppolo, just my personal opinion, having a huge game. I just think he is one of these guys that just is maintaining games right now, at least in the playoffs. He's a solid quarterback, but he's not going out and throwing 400 yards or four touchdowns. And that's not what they need from him, right? Just that defense is so dominating. And I think that defense against Mahomes and you know, Kelce's healthy now, and the Chiefs are at full speed. It's just great. And then the other story that everybody just loves is the Andy Reid story, right?
Yeah.
This guy has just become, you know, the lovable guy, the lovable dad, if you will. You know, he lost the Super Bowl years ago with the Eagles. Comes back now. He's definitely a lot more cuddly, if you will.
Yes.
I mean, the first run, he wouldn't even answer questions immediate day and never smiled. And I think coming to Kansas City was kind of a second lease on life for him. And he's definitely enjoying every minute he's here. And I will say I've covered 8 Patriots Super Bowls, and it's nice to not have a Belichick here, to actually have coaches who will talk and actually give you quotes. And and Shanahan's got definitely a bright future in this league for sure.
Yeah, that's great. When you're talking about quarterback, you know, I think of Neil O'Donnell trying to beat the Cowboys back in the
right.
I mean, you know, hey, pretty good NFL quarterback, but you needed to be
right. It was the old Trent Dilfer thing. Trent, just don't lose the game for us. Please, don't lose the game. I've become pretty good friends with Tony Siragusa over the years, mm-hmm. and Goose would always tell me that they would come off the field, specifically against the Giants in 2001 in that Super Bowl. The Ravens dominated,
yeah.
And they would come off the field, look over at Dilfer, and they would look at him and say, "Don't F it up. We just held them. Hold on." Last night, I had the privilege, you know, in our business, you never know where you're going to end up some nights, and I don't mean that in a talk your way, but you just never know where you're going to end up some nights and who you're going to be with. And we ended up at a cigar bar here in South Beach. A friend of ours is good friends with Ed Reed. And Ed Reed and Reggie Wayne, two, mm-hmm. you know, old Miami Hurricanes, are just sitting around smoking cigars. And we sat down with them. We were there. We closed the place out at 4 in the morning. And hearing Ben talk about football, specifically Reed,
sure.
and then how you play in these games and how you mentally prepare for it and what Super Bowl week means to them. It's just the mind of these athletes is incredible.
A lot of fun. And the perspective that a guy can have, you know, a few years removed from that. I think that's the one thing you and I both probably experienced over the years. The difference, I like to say there are a lot of street corner legends out there. There are a lot of guys out there who can run like the wind, who can jump out of the building. I don't say it, but there are. Who never make it off the street corner, and it's because of that connection between the two ears and the heart, in that you gotta love it. And at the end of the day, whether or not you're book smart, that's one thing, but brain smart is really where it elevates when you get to this level. That's what I always liked about getting to talk to the guys like Jesse Cipolla, or, you know, the guy you never would talk to because he wasn't on the front of the podium.
Yeah, and it's funny because that's what started the conversation with Ed, because we were talking, once again, every conversation here has been about Kobe, right? You start with Kobe and, you know, the Mamba mentality, and which led me, my colleague is from New Jersey, so he's a big Nets fan, and led me to say I was fortunate that my franchise, I was a Laker fan, had Magic and then Kobe, so I always had these leaders who just had hearts of gold, right, or hearts of champions who really believed in it. Kyrie Irving baffles me. Arguably, in my opinion, the best point guard, pure talent in the NFL, but he can never seem to get his head straight. I don't know what it is, if he doesn't care, if he's just not motivated, and it would drive me crazy to try and root for this guy, because he went to Duke. He's a smart guy. He knows how to play basketball, but he gets out there and he just looks like he doesn't care. Mm-hmm. And Ed says some guys have the heart all year round. Some guys just want to play and just get in the playoffs. And that's, you know, Kyrie is just wired differently. And I can't relate to that. I mean, as you said, we all, at one point or another, one of us all picked up a ball and wanted to play. And we all work hard at our craft. But can you imagine having that God-given ability to play the sport that you love and not take advantage of it?
No, I can't, actually. My old body, if I could, I still would. I think that's what we love.
You still got a jump shot out there.
Hey, I missed the old media day games at Dodger Stadium. Those are among the highlights of my life.
Oh yeah, yeah. I hit one that bounced twice and hit the wall. That's my best double I ever had. I always remember that.
That's the best. That's the best. Well, Alan Springer, I know you have a lot of work to do. We'll keep up with it on Yahoo Sports, and you got apps out there too, right? I can find my Apple TV everywhere. Yahoo's where can I find everything? ..
Yeah, no, I mean, the Yahoo Sports app is, you know, your audience to be able to check out the game itself, all NFL games that are in primetime and nationally televised. And then, yeah, our plug for our pregame show will be on at 1 o'clock Pacific time. We'll be on the Yahoo Sports app and on the desktop. And, you know, we got some great stuff in the show. We're doing a sit down interview tomorrow with Dak Prescott. We did something today with Greg Olson, and we're actually going into a swamp tomorrow and doing a story with Garner Minshew, Jacksonville Jaguars. We're doing a fun feature with him. Let's hope he doesn't get eaten by an alligator. His agent told us, as long as the alligator doesn't eat any body part that's around his right arm, we're good. That helps me.
Well, to paraphrase the old saying, sometimes you get the gator and sometimes the gator gets you. But that's the interview from last week with Alan Springer. Brent Weber here on Scorecard Scribblings. Really appreciate it, Alan, joining us. Thought you might enjoy hearing about national coverage. And you can actually, those interviews that he talked about, those stories, you can find those on Yahoo Sports, which is pretty cool. All right, well, still to come. The Wayback Machine's going to take us to the Lorraine Motel, and a couple of NBA stars visit there in honor of Black History Month and MLK. His passing and where he was murdered and assassinated. Also, we will kind of get you up to date on the local college sports teams already underway, baseball, softball, of course, men's and women's basketball. And we'll hear from the 49ers at their exit interviews. That's all coming up on Scorecard Scribblings.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hey, welcome back to Scorecard Scribblings. The Warriors, it just keeps getting uglier. Nets whipped them 129-88 tonight. Sacramento Kings are off until, when do they play? I think they play on Friday. They host the Heat. And by the way, the Heat may have Andrew Iguodala in a uniform by then. They've got a trade that is yet to be finalized. I guess it's going to happen. Iguodala, one of my favorites on those great Warriors teams. I think he, when he's not, was not in their lineup, they were beatable. But when he was as valuable as almost anybody. Anyway, talking basketball, of course, Kevin Durant was the guy that wasn't there because of injury last year. You all know, if you've been listening to me, he's a favorite of mine, a professional friend. I had the chance to travel with him his second year, his first year in Oklahoma City, as a sideline reporter for the Thunder that year. And I used to take my camera on the road, and I would file reports. I hosted a show called Thunder. I don't remember. I would do a piece called Thunder Road, and basically one of those pieces was inspired by, I had the chance, and you get to do this when you travel with these teams, which I wish I could do, had done more of in my career. But I got to travel in Memphis, went to the Lorraine Motel, a site of the assassination of Martin Luther King. And, of course, it's also home to the National Civil Rights Museum, and just a powerful, powerful place, no matter your age, who you are. Of course, I'm 58 now. So to me, you know, I remember that. I remember that as a young child, and we all need to. Anyway, the NBA has long celebrated Black History Month. The majority of the players are African American. And when I was with the team, we had the chance to hear from a couple of guys, a veteran and a kid at that time, Joe Smith. And that's what the Wayback Machine is today. We're going to hear from Joe Smith and Kevin Durant from when they first visited the Lorraine Motel and what the, you know, what that meant to them. Let's listen in.
I was pretty excited because of all the history that they were telling us that we were going to see when we got there. You know, so I was pretty excited about it. And as you go, as we walk through the doors, you know, it's kind of a aura or something, you know, that kind of overwhelms you when you walk in.
Everything kind of hit me then, you know, like I was a part of that, like I seen it. And, you know, it was tough. You know, Martin Luther King did so much for this country, you know, for myself, even though I'm young, you know, he taught me a lot of things. And, you know, for him, for me to see that, you know, kind of put everything in perspective.
As I got closer to the room where he actually stayed at, I mean, it's like my palms started sweating. I stood by the room and, you know, kind of, you know, glanced around the room and stood there for a few minutes. And the thing about it, they opened up the balcony so we can walk outside to the balcony and where he was actually standing. Then you look across the street and you see the window of where actually the shot came from. And I mean, it was really, really overwhelming for me.
As a young guy, for me to see that, you know, that's something I want to share with my kids and their kids. And, you know, just know that a man like that, you know, had a lot of impacts on everybody's life.
After we walked through, I went down to the gift shop and bought a bunch of T-shirts, bunch of posters, so I could share that with my kids. You know, they're eventually going to experience some things in their lifetime, but just to give them something to know where they came from.
It was a great, you know, great thing to see for as a team as well. You know, kept everybody together, and you know, that's the kind of man he was. You know, he brought this whole country together.
That was a fun story. Great opportunity to get to do that. Hey, when we come back, we'll hear from the Jimmy G and one other 49ers player at their exit interviews post Super Bowl. This is Scorecard Scribblings.
ride up to the historic Cascade Theater for an evening of engaging family entertainment when Cirque Mechanics returns to Reading February 11th. Part mechanical invention, part high-flying circus, Cirque Mechanics' new show plays tribute to the lore of the 1800s circus with acrobatics, aerialists, mechanical marvels, and a bit of clowning around. Don't miss this spectacular show February 11th. Get tickets at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill, and once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Little Tom Waits for you. You know, that'll get flagged on YouTube, right, if I post this one. If you'd like to hear some of our past interviews, I've been posting them on scorecardscribblings.com on the YouTube page for it. Where, no offense, but if you want to go back and hear the interviews, and you can also find them in our archives for the station. But I've been putting them on there, and then because they have those tiny little clips from like the Tom Waits song and the Buffett song and U2, they get flagged, the music, because they're on the station we pay, you know, ASCAP BMI rights, but on YouTube, nope. And they don't really get that mad. They kind of like it because then they put a little thing that says buy this song. A little bar that goes over there. Hey, thanks for joining us. Do we have to take another break, or do I just – okay, I'm going to talk for 10 minutes. I'm just kidding. 49ers. I tell you, that's a fun team. They're going to be good. Problem with the NFL is it's hard to go back-to-back unless you're really, really deep and good. I think they're good. I'm not sure they're there depth yet. They're not Patriots deep, you know, yet. And so – because the schedule gets turned on you in the NFL, and that always makes it a little bit tougher. Got to feel like their division's going to be a little tougher next year, too. I get a feeling that a couple of those teams are going to be a lot better. But how about if we can get the Jimmy Garoppolo one ready first? Quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, hey, I liked him. I thought he played well. You can't blame him. I don't think he cost him the game. They needed to score some points and missed this whatever, but got beat by a better team. Let's listen into some of his interview. You have to listen to the questions because it's in a press. It's in the locker room, but we'll listen to a little bit of Jimmy Garoppolo's exit interview the 49ers had for us today.
Didn't make enough plays when we had opportunities. It was tough to watch, but, you know, at this point it is what it is. So got to appreciate the good things from this season.
How do you turn
the
disappointment into motivation?
I don't know. Keep telling myself, you got to remember that feeling. When all the confetti's coming down, just remember those that moment, and just got to let it fuel you for this offseason. Just come back stronger, more ready for next year.
How do you deal with the media criticism that
you're going to
be having week to week?
You know, it's one of those things. You just got to take it for, you know, it is what it is. You got to own it. Got to be a man, and I don't know, just attack it right down the middle, right in the face, and just look back at the season. I mean, there was a lot of good memories from this year. This team, this, you know, the players, coaches, it was a great group to be around. I enjoyed every minute of it. You know, terrible ending, but just, you know, got to take the good with the bad.
Were there certain players that you keep running through your mind, Jimmy, like maybe you'll have to throw to Sanders?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's just, but at some point you got to move on from it. So, like I said before, it sucks. Obviously some throws I wish I had back, some throws I made differently. The one to E, just, you know, missing him, putting a little too much on it. But, you know, those are, you got to be a man. You got to own up to those things. And so, you know, some things I'd rather have back, but just, this whole year, it's been incredible.
We saw the production from Emmanuel on the field, obviously pending free agent. How would you describe his impact off the field and what he meant to the receiving corps?
Oh, you can't even describe it. I mean, just what E did, coming in the way he did, never asking for the ball, never doing too much. He just, he was exactly what we needed on this team, that veteran, you know, presence for the younger receivers, for just everyone, myself included. Just everything he did, he did it with class, and couldn't ask for a better teammate.
He's talking about Jimmy Garoppolo there, and he's talking about Emmanuel Sanders, who the 49ers have not indicated yet whether or not they will try to get him back. He's not under contract with them, so whether or not he's going to be with the club this year, he got asked about that quite a bit. Let's listen into Emmanuel Sanders.
You mentioned when you got here the importance of winning to you at this stage of your career. Financials aside, is this a place that you view that can continue?
Of course. I want to win. So we'll see what happens.
What about this team in particular would give you confidence that you could be back next year if you're back?
We're different. This team is different. This organization is different, and it doesn't start with the players. It starts with the general manager, from the head coach, and those guys are special guys, and they're going to get a group of guys around here to they're going to win a long time around here. I know Niner Faithful is upset about, you know, obviously the Super Bowl loss, but you know, the people who are controlling the reins of this organization, even from the owners, you're going to win a long time around here. So,
has there been enough distance now between a few days since the Super Bowl that you could really appreciate what you guys accomplished?
Not really. You know, obviously, you guys got the cameras in my face right now. Like, I want to talk to you guys about this, but I really don't. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm here trying to clean up my locker, and you guys asking me questions about stuff that's going to happen a month and a half in advance. So I'm just trying to enjoy saying goodbye to my teammates. And, you know, I don't know what the future holds, and I don't have the answers, but we'll see.
That's Emmanuel Sanders. And that's the way it is. They're doing the job. Those guys are pros. And I like when they, you know, they understand that when we're doing our job, you know, at this point, guys who were there, guys and gals, when I say guys, I mean men and women who were in the press, they've been covering that. The people who are in that locker room today, they've been covering that team. I mean, they're familiar to those players. They've seen them. They may not know them personally, but they're not – today they weren't talking to people from Japan and, you know, New York and all these other places that would have been at the Super Bowl or the playoffs where they're running into – having to answer questions from those guys. Today, they're familiar guys, and I really think it's cool that you know, they took time to talk to the cameras, and you know, Emmanuel Sanders sounds like he wants to be back. By the way, hundreds of thousands of fans, that's what AP reports. Sub-freezing wind chills to celebrate the team's first Super Bowl victory in 50 years in Kansas City, Missouri. Coach Andy Reid told the fans that had lined the 2-mile parade route that his team, quote, "Next year we're coming right back here. One more time, baby, one more time." So Andy Reid has already thrown the gauntlet down. They want to repeat their first Super Bowl since 1970. So pretty cool. I mean, you know, hey, if you don't like the Chiefs because they beat your team, I understand that. But I thought it was a pretty good football story. I wanted to talk a little baseball, too, didn't I? Yeah, we've got about 5 minutes. Pete Rose, by the way, also in the AP today. And, you know, you can You may be tired of it. You may have an opinion no longer on it. If you remember, it was back in 1989 that Pete Rose signed a deal saying that he would accept a lifetime ban after an investigation found out. He did it. He just didn't admit it until much, much later. And I was as naive as anybody else, a young sportscaster. I didn't want to believe it. He was my hero growing up. That he had bet on baseball games and even bet on his own team while he was managing. Pete was not a brilliant guy. He just was a brilliant baseball guy. He loved baseball. And he screwed up. And I think he made a mistake by making that deal because every commissioner since then has basically said, tough. You made the deal. You made your bet. Well, now we have the steroid era where we know players, because they've admitted it, jacked up their offensive statistics and so on, and it's tainted during the post-Pete Rose. So those guys are getting into the Hall of Fame. They're eligible to be voted into the Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds isn't in there, but he'll get in there. And the point that Pete Rose's attorneys are saying is there's never been any allegation that Rose's misconduct was intended to gain a competitive advantage over other teams. They're talking about the Houston Astros sign-stealing stuff and this and so on. And I kind of get it. Enough is enough. Let the sports writers, the baseball writers, they're the ones who vote, not Major League Baseball. Once you put them on the ballot, let the writers decide whether or not Pete Rose belongs in the Hall of Fame. And he never threw a game. No one ever came close to proving anything like that. And he played his behind off. And, you know, at one point in time, you know, he played in more winning games than anybody in baseball history. I don't know if that's still true. But that's kind of cool. I kind of like that. Anyway, I'd like to see us move past that, get him in the Hall of Fame. Then again, I've always kind of felt that way, that they should let the voters vote. College baseball, Shasta College, they got a win. They're 1-4 to start their season. Simpson University baseball, now they've won 3 of their last 4 there at San Francisco State. Shasta College saw some of the guys, the Knights, today, and they're raring to go. We've got a lot of guys who played for the Colt 45s that are they're a big part of that team right now. Nick Horsley, Zach Billingsley, Jordan Akins, Billy Plummer. There's others. And they're playing Friday, Saturday against Skyline. That'll be a tough test. Then next week against Yuba. Softball's underway. Shasta softball team's won 2 in a row. They beat Mendocino, I think. They're at Folsom Lake. But pretty cool to see softball getting underway. Basketball, if you're not doing anything right now, you can head out and watch the Shasta College women. They're having a good season. They're in action tonight, I believe. Let's see. They're 12 and – no, that's – what are they? Oh, they're 12 and 11, but they've struggled in conference play. But they are tipping off at 7 in just a couple of minutes. The men should just be wrapping up. Not sure about the final there. Taking on Butte tonight. And let's see. Also, Simpson University men are now 12 and 8. They are home tomorrow and Saturday. They're tied for 3rd in their conference. The women have won 2 straight, and they even beat UC Santa Cruz, so that's a good win for them. They host Embry-Riddle tomorrow. Also, local softball, women's softball team over at Simpson. Love it. Love college softball. And just the heart of college players. 4-game win streak for them. They are at home on Saturday. Next week, we're going to be joined by the he's the president of the chapter. Better get that right. By the head of the Sabres Society of American Baseball Research, Sacramento chapter's boss. He'll be joining us next Saturday night and next Saturday on Wednesday night. He'll tell us about a whole bunch of other stuff. So join me next week, 6 o'clock. The representative of the Dusty Baker Sacramento chapter. I'm Brent Weber, scorecardscribblings.com for more interviews. Have a great week. We'll see you at the ballpark, folks.
Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.